glass of water?
No, I'll bring a water.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
One, two. It is.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Some of you will be very sorry to hear that I have got my voice back. And notices this week, evening service tonight at 5:30 for Chris Dingle, and that will be led by Peter Lloyd. On the table on my right here are cards that are sent to the church, and there's the baubles there for any messages if you want to put a message on for us to hang on the tree outside, and any donations for in lieu of sending cards, it will be going to the food bank. A very big thank you again to Paul for leading our service this morning. And next Sunday, our service will be here at Carey, and it will be a joint communion service with Rockingham Road and Fuller. And also we have a joint service tomorrow at Fuller, and that will start at 10 o'clock. So it's slightly earlier than our usual service. So hope to see you all there. Thank you.
Thank you, Jude. And a very happy Christmas to you all. Before we start our service this morning, just a couple of things to mention. On your tables, you've got a quiz. Now, I was thinking about giving you the answers at the end, but I thought it'd be good for you, if you wanted to take it home and encourage you then to have a look at your Bibles and things and have a look at what some of the answers are. And it's about, you know, what the Bible really says about the Christmas story. Now, you might also find this quite helpful, actually, in some of the questions. Darren's produced a sheet of, in chronological order, of all of the events in the Bible, with all the Bible references down there. So if you're interested in that, Darren's got a few copies that he'd like to give away, I'm sure. You're not charging, are you? And so if you want to take one of those, Darren's got a few of those as well, but you know, you're welcome to have a go at that during the sort of, hopefully as we go through the service today, some of the answers might become clear anyway, so we'll see how we go on that. We're going to start our morning service off this morning by lighting the Advent candles, and it's four candles today, so step forward, Darren and Zoe.
We light the fourth candle to remind us of our calling to reflect the light of Jesus in this dark world. Jesus once said, "You are the light of the world, so let your light shine before men, so they may see the good that you do and praise God." Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you that you brought us all here this morning. We thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son into the world, Jesus Christ, to be our Saviour. And Father, we know as we look around our world today, Lord, we desperately need somebody, Lord, to save us, Lord, from all the sin and the suffering and the misery that we see around us. We pray, Lord, this morning as we meet together, you might reveal, Lord, Jesus to us. Jesus, our Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And we do pray, Lord, this morning that Jesus really will be with us today, that we'll really know his presence here among us, that he'll speak to us, Lord, through the singing of our carols, our prayers, our readings, and everything, Father, that goes on over the next little while. Just pray, Lord, that you'll be with us and bless us today in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to sing now, stand or sit, whatever you like to do, in our first song, which is Come and Join the Celebration. Now, I don't know about you, I often wonder what it was like at the birth of Jesus. And I've got here a few things that have been invented recently that are associated with births and babies and things. And they're all within the last sort of couple of hundred years, actually. In 1733, the pram was invented. In 1816, a stethoscope. In 1849, a safety pin. 1865, I didn't think it was as early as this, baby formula milk. And whizzing forward a bit, 1933, the first booster seat was invented, for car seat for a child in a car. Pampers were invented in 1956. Didn't realise Pampers had been around that long, actually. Ultrasound was also invented in 1956 as well. And the actual first proper child safety seat was invented in 1962. So all quite recent, actually. And it makes you wonder, doesn't it, really, what life must have been like in that place where Jesus was born. You know, it must have been pretty rudimentary, mustn't it? And very few facilities. It must have been quite dark and cold. And, you know, and if that birth had been happening today, I think a few things might have been a bit different. So we've got a little sketch we're going to do for you now, which is what might happen if we had the birth of Jesus today. Okay, so I'm going to ask Keith and Jeanette and Graham to step forward. And the sketch is entitled A Health and Safety Nativity. Now, just to let you know who's who. Now, we'll leave you to work out who Keith and Jeanette are. And Graham is the innkeeper, and I am I'm the man from health and safety. So we want you to imagine that we're in the stable, and I'm coming to inspect the stable. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, I'm afraid this just will not do at all.
What's the problem?
Problem, I'm afraid, sir, it's problems with S on the end. Look, you, sir, have contravened certain regulations. Your many failings can be categorised under the Building Regulations of 2010, the Landlord and Tenants Act of 1954, the Welfare Animal Act of 2006, the National Health Service Act of 1946 and 1977, and the Health Act of 1999, 2006 and 2009. Well, look, I'm sorry, madam, but this table is simply not a safe place to have a baby in.
We've got nowhere else to go.
Well, I'm afraid that you'll just have to put the baby on hold for a bit.
So ridiculous.
Look, I'm afraid I cannot allow a baby to be born in this location. It contravenes so many health and safety laws. It's the most flagrant breaches of the law I've ever seen in my entire career.
What do you mean breaches? What health and safety? It's not a maternity ward.
Well, for starters, if you are to have people stay, you need to be fully complying with the Landlord and Tenants Regulations. Has this building been registered for use as a bed and breakfast? And have you obtained the necessary planning documents from the Bethlehem Bureau of Building Business?
No, of course not. It's only for temporary use, isn't it? We've got two weary travellers, as it's a census.
Look, but it's a stable. Ignorance of the law or exceptional circumstances are not, I repeat, not an excuse for willful disobedience of any said law or regulatory instruments.
Well, I know, but it's a stable. I mean, look, it's a stable, it's not a B&B.
Look, have you, for example, got valid insurance on this property? Buildings and contents insurance? Public liability insurance? Is there an appropriate fire exit?
Fire exit? It's a stable. The door's bigger than the building.
Silence while I try to give an interview in this shocking, most shocking lapse I've ever experienced in my entire career. Look, I've noted it in my report. Now, where are we? Yes. Do you have sprinklers fitted? Is there someone to hand who is first aid trained? We see no fire retardant doors here, no fire extinguishers. There appears to be no emergency first aid exit kit around here at all.
But I've got a baby on the way.
Therefore, we must fulfil all the regulations for hospitals under the Care Quality Commission guidelines. As a neonatal stable, there are various procedures that must be authorised to order to satisfy the Bethlehem Health Authority, or the BHS as we call it.
But it's not a neonatal unit. What are you talking about?
Look, I am assuming that this long ear meets the standards for outdoor seating, subject to EU regulation 2006/514/EC.
But we're not in Europe, we're in Bethlehem.
So, I'm assuming that's a no then. That's another fail.
But look, it's a stable. You can see it's a stable. A stable for animals.
Which brings me to animal rights. That donkey over there in the corner looks a bit worse for wear.
It helped carry Mary from Nazareth.
Aha! So, a long distance journey. Did it have its mandatory brakes when driving? After 5 hours, 30 minutes, there is a legal mandatory stop for at least 30 minutes. Well, I sincerely hope it didn't do more than 10 hours driving in a day.
Driving, man, it was walking.
Call it what you like. That donkey was journeying. And it's noisy. I hope it was obeying all relevant legislation and using a hands-free kit.
Are you mad?
Toilet? Well, that's another issue. And sanitation. I see no running water anywhere. No hand towels. No soap, no toilet facilities.
We've got all
mud pond.
There's a hole in the ground.
Hole in the ground? Well, that won't do, I'm afraid. This is in the 18th century, you know. I've got a hole in my garden made by moles, but I don't go to the toilet in it.
Are you legally mad, or do you just get up early and practice?
Oh, very funny, my friend. But joking isn't going to get you out of this pickle. Oh, no, 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 I'm sorry. This just won't do. This is no place for anyone to stay, and certainly no place for a baby to be born in. Now, I need a room for the night. Have you got any?
Yeah, we've got another stable. I think that's free.
I'll take it. So, our next carol, believe it or not, is from the squalor of a borrowed stable.
Thank you. while a rather borrowed stable by the spirit and a virgin's faith. To the anguish and the shame of scandal came the savior of the human race. Eyes were filled with the praise of heaven. Birds listen as the angels tell, for the gift of God came down to man, dawning of Emmanuel. Heaven now a friend of sinners, humble servant in the Father's hands, filled with power and the Holy Spirit, filled with mercy for the broken man. Yet he walked my road and he felt my pain, joys and sorrows that I know so well. Yet his righteous steps give me hope again, will follow my Emmanuel. Through the kisses of a friend's betrayal, he was lifted on a cruel cross. He was punished for a world's transgressions. He was suffering to save the lost. Fights for breath, he fights for me, loosing sinners from the claims of hell. And the shout of our souls are free, defeated by Emmanuel. Standing in the place of honor, crowned with glory on the highest throne, interceding for his own beloved, till his Father calls to bring them home. Then the skies will part as the trumpet sounds, hope of heaven or the fear of hell. But the bride will run to her lover's arms, glory to Emmanuel.
I'm going to ask Alison now to come forward and read a few verses from Luke and chapter 1.
The birth of Jesus is announced. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a girl promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. The girl's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king, as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "I am a virgin. How then can this be?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and God's power will rest upon you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Remember your relative Elizabeth. It is said that she cannot have children, but she herself is now 6 months pregnant, even though she is very old. For there is nothing that God cannot do." "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." And the angel left her.
Thank you, Alison. Okay, we're going to sing again now, and our next carol is Ding Dong Merrily on High. I'm going to ask the Tuesday House Group now, who are going to come forward and to lead us in a time of prayer. So, over to you.
Could we have the words on the screen, please, for the next song? When Paul asked if the Tuesday evening Bible study group could do the prayers, we had all sorts of wacky, ambitious ideas for this. Initially, what we're going to do is some of the group are going to pray, but they're going to pray where they are. And the idea is, we'll pass the microphone round so those relying on the loop can hear it, is that we surround you with prayer. So that's the idea of that part. And then we did initially talk about praying for around the world and could we pray in different languages, which did sound a little ambitious. And somebody had said, could we do a blessing in Hebrew? And as it happened, Bill said, "What this one?" And he sang a song. And I thought, I recognise that, because Carol Pratt had actually given me the music for it, which was in English and not in Hebrew. But this is in Hebrew, so we're going to attempt to sing it at the end of the prayer time. So I'll play it initially on my cello. Unfortunately, Bill isn't very well, so I really hope that he's with us on Zoom. He was going to try and get on Zoom. So thank you for this song, Bill, if you're listening. And this is for you. So the words are, the tricky word there is what looks like chavarim, and it's more like chavarim. So you can say havarim if you like. So we don't have that sound in English. So it's shalom havarim, shalom havarim, shalom shalom, lahit ra'ot, lahit ra'ot, shalom shalom. The word shalom in Hebrew you probably know means peace, but it's also a greeting, so it's hello and goodbye as well. So roughly translated, that is peace, my friends, till we meet again, peace, or God's peace be with you. So as we sing it, we're singing peace to one another, but it also seemed appropriate with so much violence going on in the world that we'd sing it for the people who are suffering violence, so the people in Ukraine and the people in Israel and the people in Gaza. So we will be praying for them as we pray peace on each other. So I believe the order is going to be Darren, Sandra, then Jackie, then Julie.
Lord, Heavenly Father, from the very beginning of time, with Jesus at your side, you created mankind to be perfect in your image, when you said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness," as quoted in Genesis 1:26. You're so amazing that you knew that Satan would corrupt mankind to be sinful. But despite this, you had an amazing plan of redemption that would take many years to complete. Over 2,700 years ago, you revealed your astounding plan to Isaiah that foretold the coming of your son, Jesus, here on earth. Isaiah described Jesus' birth and crucifixion in so much detail that 700 years after it occurred, just as you predicted. We thank you, Lord, that through your prophets, you continued to reveal several aspects of your redemption plan, with many of these events having taken place, and some are still waiting to happen. You have won the victory over death, just as you foretold at the very beginning in Genesis 3:15, when you crush Satan. And through these signs, we can recognize the seasons for Jesus' glorious return. Lord, there is nothing that you do not know about each and every one of us. You know all our thoughts and all our actions. Through your grace and mercy, we ask for your forgiveness for all our wrongdoings. Mold us to be more like you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Redeemer. Amen.
Lord, we pray for our world, especially in the areas where there's war and conflict. We appeal to you for your protection of innocent people, and we pray for peace and the removal of all hatred. Lord, we plead that governments and all the elected individuals have a heart to serve their people in a peaceful and righteous way, where they do not succumb to self-interest and corruption. We offer our prayers for our royal family, requesting your protection upon them, and ask they uphold your standards of righteousness. We acknowledge during the Christmas period that the only chance of peace was born in the Middle East. Amen.
Almighty God, you have warned us through your Son Jesus Christ that those who follow you may be oppressed and abused because of their faith. We ask that you comfort and give courage to all your children who fall victims to unjust imprisonment, physical harm, and intimidation at the hands of the oppressors. For those who have given their lives in the fight for freedom to openly share and live out their faith, may they be welcomed into your warm embrace. For those who persecute our brothers and sisters in Christ, may their spirits be touched by the incredible faith of those who they attack, and may they turn away from sin and open their hearts to your love. We pray for those who risk their own lives to help the persecuted, to bring support, help, and the written word of God to the persecuted. We pray these prayers through Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we gather today to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas, the birth of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the greatest gift of all. We thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us, especially our friends and family. Lord Jesus, the miracle of your birth helped us to understand that it is not just blood that makes family, but also love. Your blood made us all part of one family, and our love for each other and for you keeps us all together. You bring people together who would perhaps not normally share their lives, and all our lives are enriched because of this. We celebrate those differences that make us individuals, as well as the things that we share, and we build upon both to grow your kingdom. We thank you that we have brothers and sisters all over the world, and that we can find fellowship and sanctuary wherever we go and whomever we meet in your name. We pray that the miracle of Christmas will bring peace and joy to all. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, all of you. It was really good, wasn't it? Lovely experience, that. And I like the song. Perhaps something we can sing again, I think, isn't it, really? We often sing these things once and then never again, do we, actually? So it'd be a nice blessing, perhaps, one, you know, perhaps we could sing it at the end, maybe, of a service one day. That's good. I don't know about you. I'm sure there's lots of sort of traditions and things that you have in your household. You know, we're quite a nation of traditionalists, aren't we, actually? We always like things done in a certain way. And we're almost kind of conditioned these days to sort of celebrate Christmas in a certain way. And, you know, when we go shopping and when we do things at Christmas, we always expect that certain things are kind of part of it. So what I've done this morning is I've brought along what I've described as a box of Christmas. Box of Christmas of things and stuff I've kind of gathered around the house just for people, just to kind of things that you, well, you know, probably you've all either got some or all of these at Christmas. So the first thing I've got is a cracker. Who pulls crackers at Christmas? Any cracker pullers? Yeah? A few, You crack a... Sorry? If you bought any, yeah. Well, we bought these about 10 years ago, actually, and we've they've been sitting on the top of our kitchen cabinets, actually, so I'm not sure whether they work or not. Now, we see loads of this stuff around, don't we? Tinsel on our Christmas trees as well. And it's sort of fairly recent, actually, isn't it? You know, I remember we were watching a film the other day, and the old sort of Christmas trees. And do you remember they used to put the sort of taffeta on it, didn't you? Those sort of little hanging stuff and things. And you don't see that so much now, do you, on Christmas trees? A bauble on your Christmas tree. So lots of things like that we see on there. It's going to roll off, I think, nice, isn't it? Now, I always like to have a bit of Christmas cake at Christmas. Normally, Sandra makes a Christmas cake, but she decided she wasn't going to bother this year. So we had to go looking for it, and we unfortunately left it a bit late. Actually, we spent most of Thursday this week hunting for a Christmas cake, but eventually we found a nice Christmas cake in Asda in the end. So I bought two of them, actually, because I thought they were so nice. Just keep your hands off that, Martin. Now, I'm sure a lot of you send Christmas cards and things, and again, Christmas cards are a Victorian tradition, isn't it, really? And people used to send Christmas cards in the Victoria era, but you know, of late, particularly with the cost of first class and second class stamps going up, I bet a lot of you probably are thinking twice now, aren't you, about sending these, or maybe using scout posts or delivering it through the door, or sending e-cards even. Obviously Pat Basson sent us an e-card this morning, as it's a more eco-friendly, sustainable way of doing it. Father Christmas, he usually appears somewhere, doesn't he, on at Christmas. There's a Christmas decoration that we've got as well. Obviously a Christmas tree. Dug these up from all over the place, actually. I had quite a good time yesterday trying to gather all this lot together. So the Christmas tree here, I'm sure, everybody got a Christmas tree, but not got a Christmas tree up this year. Who thinks the Christmas tree that we've got outside looks really good? Brilliant, isn't it? I think you've done a fantastic job, haven't they, of putting the Christmas tree up. And I think it's so, you know, with the lights on and everything in the dark, it really does show that the church is really alive. Of course, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without a few Christmas sweeties, would it, actually? So, there was a Christmas rose, raspberry, strawberry dream. There we go. Do you want it? Do you want strawberry dreams? Okay. And of course tonight. Typical, honestly. You can't trust anybody around here, can you? Well, a load of tea leaves, haven't we, in this church? And I expect a lot of you will be hanging up your Christmas stockings tonight, won't you? Or putting your sacks out or whatever, or getting it ready for the children today. Now, of course, everything I've mentioned so far are all things that we do to celebrate for Christmas, but there's one thing that's missing in all of this. What is it?
Jesus.
So where is Jesus? Seth, do you want to come up? See if you can find Jesus. You're not looking hard enough, Seth. He is there.
That's a stocking. Yeah, but is he in the stocking?
Ah, good thinking, Marion. Oh, Right, what's it
love
say?
Love from God.
Love from God. Right, do you want to open it then, Seth? See what it says. Thank you. And that, isn't it, is what Christmas is all about. You know, that God has sent his only son, Jesus, to this world that we might be saved. You know, fortunately, you know, certainly over the last few years, and I bet you've noticed, the way that Christmas, what the real meaning of Christmas is slowly being eroded, isn't it, from our society. You know, people don't want people to talk about Christmas, or even to talk, particularly to talk about Jesus, do they? Because Jesus is the reason why we're all here this morning, to celebrate the miraculous birth of Jesus, the fact that God sent his son to this earth, not only just to kind of enjoy the sort of elements of the Christmas story, but to be our saviour and to be the saviour of the world. And God wants each one of us to have a relationship, doesn't he, with Jesus, so that we might live the kind of life that God wants us to think. Because, you know, the world that we live in at the moment, you know, it's such an awful place, isn't it, really, that we need people that follow Jesus to help to turn other people to show them the way that they want us to live. So despite all of the stuff that I've brought along this morning in the basket, this is the most important thing, isn't it? You know, easy to miss, isn't it? And that's the thing, isn't it? You know, it took Seth a while to find it, didn't it, really? You know, you had to really hunt around for it. And, you know, we need to put Jesus at the centre, don't we, so that people can see why we're here, why we celebrate, why it's so important. Because one day, Jesus promises that he's going to return, and he wants people to turn to him now so that they're ready for him when he comes back. And I believe that time is very, very soon. I've got a video I've found that tells the Christmas story, kind of almost debunks the Christmas story and shows what the real Christmas story is all about. Because if you remember, on the quiz sheets on there, we've asked you some questions about what the Bible really says about Christmas. And, you know, I'm sure you've been to nativity plays and, you know, we hear things at church. And Philip Staves the other week, if those of you that were here, kind of debunked a few myths, didn't he, about what the Bible says and doesn't say about the Christmas story. So this video really just kind of puts it all into context and just reduces it to what Christmas is really all about. It's called Christmas Retuned, and I'll just let you listen and enjoy it.
One December night, over 2,000 years ago, a shining star illuminated a gathering of kings, shepherds, angels, and animals round a baby in a stable. 'Twas the Nativity, and it marked the end of a journey that began on a donkey's back.
Whoa, hold up there, Jeeves.
I beg your pardon?
Your Nativity. That's not exactly how it happened. Here, look, let's start with that donkey. Neither of the Gospel stories mentions Mary traveling by donkey. And given the 60 miles of rough terrain they traveled, it's more likely they used a wagon.
Minor details. But then the innkeeper informs them there's no room...
Again, the Bible doesn't actually mention an innkeeper. And in the Greek, the word inn refers to an upper room in a house, not an actual motel.
Oh, blast. Look, wherever it was, there was no room. So, Mary and Joseph were sent to the stable.
No stable.
Not in the Bible either.
Now you're catching on. And in those days, most animals were typically kept in a cave.
A cave?
Yippers. So it could have been that instead of a stable, the Bible doesn't really say.
And the Star of Bethlehem?
Duh, that's biblical.
Well, we're actually right for once. It's a Christmas miracle. Okay, so now came the shepherds and the three kings.
No kings. Three kings is from the song. The Bible says magi, which means wise men.
Three wise men? That works.
Well, not so fast. While the Bible does mention three gifts, it doesn't specify the number of wise men that brought them.
You mean there could have been more?
Oh yeah, a whole posse even.
With a crowd like that, it's a miracle the baby Jesus never cried.
What, no crying he makes? That's just a lyric from Away in a Manger, not actual scripture.
Well, of course he was crying. You just added a whole crowd of strange men.
Yes and no. There may have been many wise men, but they weren't there that night, you see?
Okay, that's enough. Except for the bloomin' Star of Bethlehem, you've just dismantled the most inspiring image of Christian tradition. So what's your point?
Point? Well, I guess it's this. Even when all of the man-made traditions are stripped away, the eternal truths still remain. Whether they traveled by donkey or wagon, God brought them safely to the birthplace that was prophesied. Whether born in a stable or a cave, God provided shelter in a strange new land. Whether there were three kings, three wise men, or many, God called the elect to bear witness and testimony to the birth of Emmanuel. So whether your manger looks like this, or like this, the one thing that remains unchanged is this. A baby boy, born of a virgin, this day in the city of David, a savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Bless you, sir. I'll never look at the miracle of December 25th the same way again.
December 25th? Oh, I almost forgot.
Stop that. Music!
Right, we're going to see our final carol now, which is Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. For our final blessing, if Seth, you'd like to put the next slide up, perhaps we could just say this all together as a Christmas blessing to one another. May the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace...